Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
Well, have you ever found yourself in a large parking lot and you can't seem to remember where you parked your car? And so you just find yourself wandering around looking for where you parked. I think there's actually an old Seinfeld episode about that where they spent the entire episode looking for their car in a parking garage. But if you're in a parking lot large enough and you really can't seem to find your car, it can be a bit disorienting and maybe even a bit overwhelming. But nowadays, we have these little things, and these come in pretty handy because you can push on this button and you can hear your car horn honk. Now, this is just a side note, but if you're ever out of range of your vehicle, you can actually put this up under your chin and it will extend the range of your key fob. Now, I don't know exactly how that happens. I think it turns your head into some type of antenna. But I'm not a scientist, I'm a pastor. But this is what I do know. When you hear the sound of your car horn honk, you know two things. First, you know where your car is, and second, you know where you are in relation to your car. And so pressing that button on the key fob, it's a small step, but it's an important step because once you know where your car is, you can begin heading in the right direction. So we're in the middle of this series right now titled Next Steps. And if you remember, since the start of this year, I've been encouraging us to ask this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord? Because the reality is that we're all at a different place in our walk with the Lord. Whether you are a new believer, a seasoned believer, or maybe even an unbeliever, we're all at a different place in our walk with the Lord. So where am I in my walk with the Lord? Because recognizing where we are in our walk with the Lord, that's going to help us answer this next question. What is my next step? You see, you can't head in the direction of your car until you know where your car is and where you are in relation to that car. But once you know where it is, you can start going in that direction. You can start taking steps in that direction. And so when we recognize where we are in our walk with the Lord, it's going to help us to begin taking those steps that we need to take in the right direction. So where am I in my walk with the Lord, and what is my next step? So far in this series, we've talked about a few steps. The first step we talked about is the step of salvation, surrendering your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you have not yet taken that step, that is still the first step that you need to take. Before you take any other step, you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All of these other steps that we would take apart from Jesus are no more than mere religion. And so before you take any other step, first you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. But then we talked about that next step of baptism. Baptism is not what saves us, but it is something that God calls every born-again believer to do. It is a way for us to show what the Lord has done in our life. The third step we talked about last week is the step of church membership, getting connected with a local church body, whether that's this church body or whether it is another church body. If you're visiting with us today, it's important for us as believers to be connected with a church body. It's something that God calls us to do. And so that may be the step that you need to take. But if you've taken those first three steps, it could be that the step that you need to take is to begin growing in your walk with the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the step of growing. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 22 all the way through 1 Peter 2, 5. So 1 Peter 1, 22 through 2, 5. Now, while we are looking at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, it's important to understand that the verses that we're looking at in chapter 1 fall under a section that's really dealing with a call to holy living. In other words, it's a reminder for us that as believers, we are to live differently. In fact, Peter gives this reminder in verse 16. He says, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Now, what Peter is doing there is he's quoting Leviticus 11, Leviticus 19, and Leviticus 20, reminding us that this call to holiness for God's people is not a new call, but it's something that God has called his people to from the very beginning. Now, understand, as we think about biblical holiness, it's not so much about morality as it is about an apartness. Because to be holy means to be set apart. So when God says that he's holy, he's not simply saying that he's moral, although he is moral. He's saying that he's set apart. Now, certainly, this apartness has a relationship to morality. God is moral because God is a holy God, because he is set apart. He's set apart from the sin. He's set apart from the corruption of this world. But he isn't just trying to be good so that he can be moral. No, he's moral because he's holy. And so in the same way, with this call for us to be holy, it's not simply a call for us to be moral people, with the hopes that we will somehow find favor with God. No, it's a call for us to be different and to live differently because we've already found favor with God, because we've already experienced this life-transforming power in our lives. So we're to be holy because God is holy. So let me say it again. As believers, we are to live differently. Now, it can be difficult to be different. In fact, in the 1950s, there were some studies that were done. You may have heard of them. They're known as the ASH experiments. And in these ASH experiments, they brought in these test subjects individually, but they brought them into a room filled with people that were part of the experiment. They were in on the experiment, although these individuals, the test subjects, did not know everyone was in on the experiment. And so they would ask questions, and everyone in on the experiment would give the wrong answer on purpose to see if the test subject would also give the wrong answer. And time again, the test subjects would give the wrong answer as well, simply so they wouldn't stand out, simply because they didn't want to be different. Being different can be difficult. Being set apart is not always easy, but what we're to understand is that God has invited us into his apartness. Just as God is set apart, he invites us to join him in his apartness. He did this time and time again in the Old Testament through the commands that he set for his people. But he extended this clearly. He extended this invitation through Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, it is only through Jesus that we are truly able to be holy. It's through Jesus that we're truly able to be set apart from the corruption and the sin of this world. So we see this call to be holy because God is holy, or we see this call to live differently. Now, I wanted to set set our passage up in this way because as we think about living differently, as we think about being set apart, I believe as a believer, being set apart and living differently, it includes growth as a believer. Think about how you acted when you were a child. I don't know about you, but I can look back on my life and I can say, man, when I was a kid, I did some pretty foolish things. And as I've gotten older, as I've matured, not only have I looked back at those things and thought, man, I was pretty foolish, but I've also even said, my parents were right, right? That's something that happens as we get older and as we mature. We begin to realize the foolishness of our childhood, and we begin to realize the wisdom of our parents. Growth and maturity help us to put some of our foolish ways behind us. And this is true in our walk with the Lord as well. When we grow and as we mature as a believer, what we see is we begin to put some of our foolishness behind us. We begin to put some of our sinful ways behind us. We begin to see change in our lives. And maybe if you haven't seen anything change in your life over the years, maybe it's because you haven't been growing. So we're going to talk about growing as we look at our passage right now. 1 Peter 1:22 through 2:5 says, "Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth, so that you show sincere brotherly love for each other, from a pure heart, love one another constantly, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this word is the gospel that was proclaimed to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting a couple of things that we see there in verse 22. It says, "Since you have purified yourself by your obedience to the truth, so that you show sincere brotherly love for each other." The first thing that I want you to see from this verse is that obedience to truth leads to purity. Now, this is not referring to a purity that saves us. We can work and work and work and try and make ourselves pure by doing good things, but that is not what ultimately saves us. We are only saved by Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can truly make us pure when he saves us. But this is referring to now living out a life of purity as a result of our salvation, not a purity to save us, but a purity because we have been saved. But this is the image that we have here. Believers that are growing in the truth of God's word, and as a result of their growth, they're walking in obedience to God's word. In other words, they're reading God's word and they're applying it to their lives. And as they apply God's word to their lives, what they find is that they are not sinning. Listen, obedience to truth leads to purity. But as a result, we see something else happen. We see that purity of heart produces brotherly love. So not only are these believers growing in God's word, but as they are growing in God's word, they're also growing in their love for one another. So this is where I want to give a very clear invitation to be a part of our growth groups. Part of our intentional strategy to grow here at First Baptist Church Stockdale is with our growth groups. Now, if that word growth group is unfamiliar to you, it is our small group Bible study on Sunday mornings. It's what traditionally has been known as Sunday school. And if you still call it Sunday school, that is quite all right with me, especially if you are part of one of those Sunday school classes. All right? But the purpose of these groups is for us to come together and to grow in God's Word together. And I believe in the importance of these growth groups so strongly that I am part of one myself. Because I know that there is importance in not just studying God's Word on my own, but in gathering with other believers to study God's Word together. And let me just tell you, not only are we growing in God's Word together when we meet each and every week, but we're also growing in love for one another. And so my invitation to you is that if you're not currently plugged into a growth group, get plugged into one. They're every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m., and you can find a list of them at fbcstockdale.org/grow. All right, so very easy, just our website /grow. You can find a list. Now, here's my commitment to you. If you look at that list and you say, man, there's not one that I think is a good fit for me, come to me, talk to me about that, because maybe there is a group that needs to be started. Maybe you need to be a part of beginning that group so that there is a group that's right for you and right for others. But I believe in our growth groups because I believe that it is important to grow in God's Word and to grow in love for one another. Purity of heart produces brotherly love. But now as we continue to walk through our passage, there are three reasons why we should desire to grow as a believer. First, we should desire to grow because God's Word endures. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:23 again. It says, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. We should desire to grow because God's Word endures. Now, earlier in the message, I talked about this call for us to be holy because God is holy. But when Peter gave this call, how did he start out that verse? He said, "For it is written." You see, Peter knew that even though this was written back in the book of Leviticus, he knew that this was still an applicable truth for them at that time. Why? Because God's Word endures. Now, while God's Word endures, it's important to remember that the things of this world will not endure. And there are many things that I could list off, but let me just mention a couple. Money will not endure. You know, over the last few years, we have seen with inflation how the value of our money has gone down. Right? It just does not seem to stretch as far as it once did. And yet there are many who still will look to money for their safety, for their security. They'll look to it and they'll place their hope in their finances. And listen, there's nothing wrong with having money. But when we place our hope and our security and our faith in our finances, we are placing our faith in something that ultimately will not last, that will not endure. And even if we have a nice bank account, a bank account filled with wealth all the way up until the day we die, the moment we take our last breath here on this earth, all of that wealth means nothing to us. Money will not endure. Purchases will not endure. It doesn't matter if those purchases are as small as a t-shirt that you wear for a time and then it gets a hole in it or it gets worn out and then it turns into a dust rag for the house, right? Something small like that doesn't endure. Something big like a house doesn't endure either. For those of you that don't know this, I grew up in Rockport, and so every year I go to Rockport and I spend some time there planning out the new year here at the church. And one thing that I do since I grew up there is I like to drive past the house that I grew up in. And driving past my house is always somewhat bittersweet because there are a lot of fond memories that I have of that house, fond memories from my childhood living in that house. But when I drive by that house, I realize that house is not my home anymore. It's not even owned by my family anymore. It's owned by someone else. It looks different, painted different. And so I'm reminded that something big, like a purchase of a house, doesn't even last. Doesn't matter if it's a small purchase, a big purchase, the purchases of this life will not endure. And there's so many more things that I could list off. But remember, the things of this world don't endure, but God's word endures. Even when this world changes around us, when the world is crumbling around us, we can cling to the truth of God's word. We can cling to the hope of God's word because God's word does not change. It was true when God spoke it, and it's still true today. And so we should desire to grow in God's word, or we should desire to grow because God's word endures. Second, we should desire to grow to see continual life change. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:1 again. It says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander." We should desire to grow to see continual life change. So think about this. You're at your house by yourself. Or maybe you're about to meet someone and you're alone. How do you know if you have something on your teeth or on your face or on your clothes that does not belong? Well, you need a mirror. You need something to show you that there's something that does not belong. Or if not a mirror, you can pull out your phone, put on the selfie camera, and take a look in that camera, but you're using that as a mirror. A mirror shows us what we look like. Now, it will show us if we look good, but it will also show us the things that don't belong, that need to be addressed, that need to be removed. It might even reveal to you that you need to go change your clothes because, man, that outfit does not match, right? And so a mirror, it's going to tell us the truth. It shows us what we look like, and this is exactly what God's word does for us. In fact, in the book of James, James says to look intently into God's word like a mirror. Because when we read God's word, we are faced with who we are. Now, before we give our lives to Christ, when we look at God's word, we are faced with our unbelief. We are faced with who we are apart from Christ, and we are reminded that we need to turn from our sins and we need to come into that right relationship with the Father through the Son. But if we've given our lives to Christ, when we look intently into God's word like a mirror, it reveals those things that may still be in our life that no longer belong, things that need to be addressed, things that need to be removed. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. When we look at God's word, we're faced with these things, and if they're still present in our lives, then they need to be removed. Now, this is what I've seen time and time again. I've seen individuals put their faith in Christ, but they don't go to God's word. They don't look at God's word, and then they don't see any change in their life. And they still look like they did when they first came to Christ, or even worse, they still look like an unbeliever. And they'll come to me and they'll ask me, why don't I look any different? And I'll always start with, have you been reading God's word? Have you been looking into God's word? And have you been applying God's word to your life? You see, we can't expect to look different if we don't do anything different. We can't expect our life to look differently if we never open up God's Word in the first place and allow for God's Word to speak to us and allow for God's Word to change us. But if we will open it and if we will apply it, then we will see change take place in our lives. So we should desire to grow because God's Word endures and to see continual life change. Finally, this morning, we should desire to grow because the Lord is good. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:3 again. It says, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow up into your salvation if you've tasted that the Lord is good. So we should desire to grow because the Lord is good. Specifically, this verse is saying, if you've tasted that the Lord is good, then like a newborn baby craves the milk of its mother, we should crave God's Word so that we can grow up in our faith. So for Pastor Appreciation Month, many of you gave us gift cards that we could use at restaurants. One of those restaurants was Longhorn Steakhouse, and so over the last few months, we've been able to go to Longhorn Steakhouse several times, and something happens when I pull into the parking lot at Longhorn Steakhouse. My mouth starts to water, right? Now, it's not watering because of a parking lot. It's not watering because of the restaurant. It's watering because I've tasted that steak before, and it is good. Right now, just a side note, but Flo's Filet, medium rare, that is what you should be ordering when you go to Longhorn Steakhouse. If that's not what you're ordering, you can repent later. But my mouth waters because I've been there before. I've tasted that it's good, and I crave it. Now, that's what I crave. Maybe you're not a steak person, all right? When we go to Longhorn Steakhouse, my wife, she likes to get some chicken thing, all right? We're talking to a counselor about that right now. But think of something that you crave, food or otherwise. You crave it because it's good. Listen, the Lord is good. And if you have been saved, if you have been forgiven, if you have been transformed, if you have been redeemed, then you have experienced, you have tasted the goodness of the Lord. It's something you've experienced for yourself. And so Peter says, if you've tasted how good the Lord is, then you should crave His Word. You should crave to know more about Him. One thing that I love seeing in the life of new believers is their hunger, their thirst for God's Word, their desire to know more and to grow. They just want to take it all in. And yet I see so many longtime believers, so many that gave their lives to Christ years ago, and for whatever reason, maybe it's because they've been jaded by the world, but for whatever reason, it's like we've lost our taste for God's Word. It's like we've lost our craving to grow. And if that's you, then I would simply encourage you today to pray this prayer. God, give me a hunger for your word once again. But then when you pray that prayer, don't just pray the prayer. Take the next step and open up God's word and begin reading it and begin applying it to your life. Pray this prayer, God, give me a hunger for your word once again, and then take the steps that you need to take so that you can begin getting God's word into your life. Maybe that's through consistent Bible study in your life, every day reading God's word. Maybe it's through getting plugged into a growth group so that you can grow with other believers. But don't simply ask God to give you the hunger for his word. Take that next step to begin putting God's word into your life. Growing may be the next step that you need to take, but you could also need to take some of those first steps that we talked about earlier. And so if you need to take a step this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. Maybe you're here today and you would say, I have never put my faith in Jesus Christ. I've never taken that first step of salvation. But today I recognize that Jesus died for me, that he rose again, and that anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And this morning, I'm ready to call upon the name of Jesus. I'm ready to put my faith in him. If that's you, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. This morning, you can take that first step of surrendering your life to Christ as Lord. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've taken that step, but I've never taken the next step of baptism by immersion. Listen, it's not that baptism saves us, but it's about being obedient to what God has called us to do. And so if you've never taken that next step of baptism, but today you're ready to make that commitment for that next step, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here and you would say, well, I've taken those first two steps already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of this church body, to be connected with this church family, to be on mission with this church family right here in Stockdale. If God's calling you to become a member here, then I would invite you to respond as well. But maybe you're here and you would say, the step I need to take is a step of growth. Listen, you can make that commitment right where you're at this morning. But maybe you need someone to pray with you. I'd be happy to pray with you this morning. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, respond obediently. Whatever next step you need to take this morning, take that next step obediently with the Lord. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.